Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Great to have you with us. As I just mentioned, the Aliso Canyon gas leak was 4 years ago, and it was huge. More than 100,000 metric tons of methane and other chemicals leaked into the air for a combined period of 100 days over the course of 2015 and 2016. And our own Sharon McNary, infrastructure correspondent, who has been covering this story in the intervening 4 years, has put out a brand new in-depth look at the aftermath of Aliso Canyon at LAist.com. Sharon, good morning.
Good morning.
This continues to be a huge effect, as we just saw in the fire that, of course, led to 100,000 people being evacuated.
Yeah, the fire came streaming down over those mountains. You know, the gas field is not some abstraction. It's like, 6 square miles of the Santa Susana Mountains with oil wells, former oil wells, dotting it. And they've been turned into gas wells that push gas into the depleted oil field. And, the fire came out over that. And a piece of it, a little tiny 4x4 piece of it, like stubbornly burned, and they couldn't figure out, like, what is it? That we're still waiting to find out, like, what was burning, and that's probably just some oil left over from old oil operations, but who knows? It's a mountain of mystery to a lot of people.
And today is the actual 4-year anniversary, isn't it, where the leak was first detected?
First detected is a really good way to describe it, because people who live in that area don't actually know when the leak actually first started, but the fumes started permeating the area on the 23rd of October 2015. And it was 3 days before Southern California Gas Company, which owns that gas field, actually reported that they had a serious leak to authorities. And they actually ended up getting charged criminally on that and settled the charges.
To this day, is it still unclear when the actual leaking started?
What we got this last year, and why I like to do these anniversary recaps, is in this past year, we learned more about the root cause of the disaster. We've learned more about the health effects of what came out of the hole. And there's still an ongoing whole bunch of investigations into the operation of the plant and whether it should be continued at full strength, whether it should be minimized or closed. Those are state investigations. So as far as the cause, what has been said in the root cause report done by an independent third party is that corrosion many hundreds of feet down where the pipe that comprises the well was not fully cemented, corroded from water getting in. And because they were moving gas in and out of that pipe, not through a center little tube, but through the center tube and the donut space around that tube, that aided the corrosion. And, 40, 50 years later, the thing broke open.
What kind of pressure is that gas stored under?
It's amazing. You put 30 pounds of pressure of air per square inch into your car tires. This has 3,000 pounds per square inch. I mean, it's just a massive amount of pressure.
So even a little leak is going to spew a tremendous amount of natural gas,
if it can't be controlled. And one of the points that the root cause report made was that there had been similar leaks in the past, and the gas company had not sufficiently investigated them and reported into what the cause of those corrosions were. So, I mean, the Southern California Gas Company would like to describe this as an industrial accident, but the root cause report made it clear that there was a lot they could have done to detect the leak and prevent it. They didn't really have a plan for dealing with a leak of that magnitude, because the way they went at stopping the leak was ineffective.
Can they put cameras down all of those pipes to see if there's corrosion, or is that not possible because the amount of pressure that's being held in there, you just can't get a camera down there?
I know a lot more about oil and gas wells than I did 4 years ago.
I know you do, because you amaze me every time.
But it's not really a camera. It's what they'll do is they'll seal off the well, and they'll put pressure into the well, and they'll take temperatures in the well, and where the temperature drops, that will show that there might be some anomaly in the thickness of the well casing.
And have they gone back and retrofitted the ones that are corroded?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this gas field has been completely worked over since then.
But at the same time, residents are still concerned. They want to see it closed despite that renovation of the field.
Well, and I'll tell you why. Just this last July, there was a report out of the Fielding School of Public Health at UCLA. And that report was like looking at like what are the real things that are existing in the air, on the soil, on the surfaces of people's homes that might account for all of the illnesses that people have been reporting. You know, sometimes when people go back into a disaster area, they're going to have some PTSD. They're going to have some psychosomatic symptoms. The UCLA study, and I talked to its author yesterday, was trying to figure out what is actually there that could account for like nosebleeds and respiratory problems, leukemias, blood diseases. And things like benzene, for which there is no safe level, they were detecting.
And all of that's so challenging, as you know, trying to determine that sort of highly localized physical response to being exposed to these chemicals. It's very difficult.
Very difficult. And there's another local doctor who's supposed to roll out his results later this month. His name's Jeffrey Nordella. He's been going around doing toxicological testing, you know, blood panels for people. And that's actually pretty controversial because during the blowout and in the immediate aftermath, Los Angeles County was actually advising doctors not to rely on blood work because, you know, it's not the kind of methodology that a large-scale public health study would do. But people want to know what's in my blood. And so it's a very attractive thing for people to do. So it's controversial. That's something we're going to see in the coming year talked about.
And I'm sure the lawsuits, even though we're 4 years out, there's still plenty of them being litigated.
Yeah, there were 48,000 plaintiffs about 6 months ago. Now they've gotten rid of duplicates and people who have not followed up on their lawsuits have dropped out. There's about 38,000 plaintiffs. In the coming year, we might be seeing the first of those come to trial.
We're talking with KPCC infrastructure correspondent Sharon McNary. She's been spending the past 4 years reporting on Aliso Canyon and the massive gas leak that covered months in 2015 and 2016, combined period of 100 days and evacuations that lasted for months for the residents there. Sharon, if Aliso Canyon was to be closed, and you didn't decrease the consumption of natural gas, so demand stayed the same, are there other places to put that gas? What is the risk if you were to just close it and not keep the gas there?
You know, there are other major metropolitan areas that don't store gas underground because they don't have, you know, the empty salt domes or the aquifers or the depleted oil fields to store it underground. And they store their gas in pipelines. And they've actually been built up with like larger diameter pipelines so that the underground pipelines double as storage. Here in LA, we had the luxury of always having this supply of gas underground to draw it from, at least since about the Second World War is when they started it in Playa del Rey. If all of the gas fields were closed in our area, we would have to be extremely careful in how we use gas. We'd have to use only exactly as much as we had ordered the day before.
Well, and I assume you'd know better than me, but there's more risk if you've got a bigger pipe that's feeding communities if there's a leak in that pipe, right? Because you're taking the gas right into residential neighborhoods and business areas.
We do know that the pipes up in Northern California where they had the San Bruno explosion was a bigger pipe, but I'm not sure that
there's a bigger risk because the pipe's bigger. Okay,
risk, yeah.
All right. Sharon, thank you so much. Your full reporting is at LAIS.com. You'll see her report on the 4-year anniversary.